Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever sweaty, ever vampire, and ever drinking hot tea in a hot office. My friend, my producer, my brother, happy Vampire Day to you. Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count
Wow,
Panic.
Bob, you're the first person today that wished me that.
So, did you know today's National Vampire Day?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Happy National Vampire. It was your birthday last week.
It was. Now, what month May is. But yes, if you're, I apologize. I am not, I have the cape at hand, but I'm not wearing it just because, well, Bob, as you mentioned, it's kind of sweltery in here.
Yeah, no, so now you have your cape as a sweat rag.
Yes, I'm wiping my brow with it.
Folks, if you're watching us right now instead of listening to us, the studio's air conditioning unit is from the 60s, and yeah. It gets a little warm in
probably.
Here.
Yeah. I'm going to talk to Chuck about this.
Yeah.
he can fix that. And you guys, you know, I got one light behind me, but you know, you guys got many more lights in front of you.
If I sit perfectly still, I kind of feel a slight breeze.
We should bring our mini fan or something. We should have.
I have one in the van somewhere.
But you know what? That might take the whole power grid out around here.
Plug it in. Yeah. All right. So quick, we didn't do it last week because we had Christopher Fleming on the line. Mm-hmm. So let's get a weekend update from you before we introduce the person next to me.
Yeah, weekend pretty good, Bob. I mean, you know, as you mentioned, last week was the birthday there. In vampire years, I'm somewhere around
1,000,
maybe more than 1,000. Yeah, I might have hit 1,000,000 by now, but so that was good. And, you know, just kind of, you know, 3-day weekend, Bob, even for vampires around here, which is nice. You know, supported local baseball teams.
That's good.
The Gary Railcats. Shout out to the Gary Railcats.
They could sponsor this show.
You could throw the first pitch.
They don't want that.
They always went.
I clock Rusty in the head by accident.
They always want dignitaries to, you know, throw the first pitch.
Foreign
out,
dignitary. What am I? I'm a late night talk show host.
I know. Well, I mean, that's a dignitary for sure. But
all right.
But it was a good weekend. How about yours, Bob?
My weekend was okay. I went down to Indianapolis for the Indy 500 parade. I was actually marching in it with the Circle City Ghostbusters.
You were the parade.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was fun. Did some retro video game and hunting, which was a good time. And then spent my brother's 46th birthday with him. So shout out to Christopher. Happy belated birthday. I know he's listening
happy
right now.
Happy belated birthday. And yes. The Indy 500. I mean, the parade, it didn't go fast, right? It was just a regular parade. They didn't race.
No, it was the downtown, like, festival parade. And it is a long parade. Luckily, it wasn't overtly hot.
They should have had you bring out the Ecto on the Speedway. That would have been fun.
I think one year they did.
You know, they race the Oscar Mayer Wieners now, the day
yes,
before.
Yes, yeah.
It's amazing.
That's probably way cooler than me anyway.
It's impressive.
Is there turbo in there? Like, how are we catching up?
You know, I was at the Wienermobile once. They gave me a tour of it. Yeah.
I feel like it was more than 1 year.
I was wondering if I could, you know.
You had the cape. You had the cape.
Yeah, but you could apply to drive it, too. You could sign up to be a driver.
What?
So, okay. Bob.
Bob, get on it, man.
Yeah, the vegetarian to drive the Oscar Mayer.
You have vegan dog. Like,
yeah, do you have the vegan dog option? I'm just
curious. Does Oscar Mayer do that, maybe? I don't know.
I don't think they do.
I'm sure they do anything.
So, sitting to my right is a new guest here on the show. We've been on a streak with guests lately, Count. Now, listen.
Yeah.
I got an email the other day. and it was asking me, why am I changing the format of the show and having guests on every week?
Oh, because you do for so long.
Yeah, well,
you sprinkle the guests in all the time.
We sprinkle the guests in. Sometimes we sprinkle a little heavier.
Yeah.
Since we're in season two of Bob After Dark now, it's don't give me that. I'm not in the mood.
Season two?
I'm not fighting with
after
you.
After 10 years, it's season two.
First off, we haven't been on air for 10 years. We haven't been on air for 8 years.
2018 was our first year on the air.
Yeah, that's 7 years.
That's season two. It just started.
Yeah, remember? Well, it started back when we had Casey on the show ten weeks ago.
2 years.
We moved back in here.
Season two.
So season two, we've just incorporated more guests, and it's just how it's been. So folks, don't worry about it. We'll go back to other stuff. But I do have guests lined up for the next few weeks. What's up, Count?
Vixis chiming in. Happy birthday, Christopher.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. All right.
Applause.
So would you like to introduce yourself?
Wait.
And what?
What if this is your first time watching Bob After Dark?
Oh, my word. This is, I forgot all about
that. I remember this.
It's too warm in the office. If this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we are your weekly show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and, of course, Count Panic's favorite floaty to float on in the water.
I'm a simple guy, noodle. One of those foam noodles, right?
Foam noodles. Yeah.
You don't need to impress me with your donut-shaped noodles or your, what do people like to sit on, the unicorn thing and whatnot.
Yeah, the rubber duck.
I just like a foam noodle. But in the old days, they used to have a little connector. Nowadays, that's kind of rare to find a connector for it, but I like a noodle. Are you a noodle guy?
Yeah, I would say so.
Noodle. Yes. Basic noodle.
All right. So anyway, sitting to my right is our guest for the week. And I'm looking forward for her to introduce herself. So hello. Yeah.
Hello.
You're going to have to get closer to the microphone.
Okay, okay.
There, you got this. I have faith in you.
All right.
So tell us who you are and what you do.
Okay. So I am Crystal Marie Gonzalez. I am an author. I am a metaphysical educator. And I really just like the paranormal. I like to investigate and do all of that. So that's why I'm here today, because we have a lot in common.
Oh, do we?
I feel like we do. You like vampires. I like vampires. He is a vampire.
I am a vampire. On National Vampire Day.
On National Vampire
Day.
Yes.
Happy National Vampire Day to you, Count.
This is the vampire episode.
It is a something.
There we go.
Yes. So what does it mean to be a metaphysical teacher?
So that is like why we are the way that we are, like as above, so below. And it's kind of that. And that's where I talk about like spirituality, consciousness, things like that. So that's what I do. I talk a little bit more about that. And that's where I intertwine like paranormal also.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And you are also an author, which is pretty cool, which we'll talk a little bit about your books that you have available right now, because you are a best-selling author, which is pretty cool to say.
Thank you.
That's a cool thing to say out loud, right?
It is. I don't say it because I like to be very humble, and I always say I'm just Crystal, but my vampire book is really well, The Midnight Mask of Nola, and then I did my paranormal books, and I'm just lucky. I didn't know how far I would get with it, but I love it. So, yeah.
That's great. Count, do you, what's going on?
I am paying attention to chat as well.
Yeah, because he didn't do it last week, I'll tell you that.
No, we were too preoccupied. That Zoom is pesky. But if you want to chime into the show, we got a phone line, which is live. 219-845-1100. 219-845-1100. Also got the YouTube comments up and running. We got a couple now, just came on in. James Norman. It's been a long season, he says. And Vixis saying Bob won't even get into a pool. She's calling you out.
She called me out.
Is that true?
Do you know how to swim?
Yes, I know how to swim.
Oh, I'm.
No, it's okay.
I'm okay. I'm just trying to make sure.
Yes, thank you for calling me out, Vix.
All right.
Just got a new pool and I haven't been in it.
We should do an episode of the pool.
Bob After Pools?
At dark.
At dark.
Night swimming.
Night swimming with Bob.
Night swim with Bob, and I'll tell you lake monster ghost stories.
It'll be a lot cooler, temperature-wise, than being in here.
Yeah, but we're going to need like 25 tiki torches to keep the mosquitoes away. Because
we'll call Chuck.
Yes.
We'll call Chuck.
He'll bring tiki torches.
Now back to you, Crystal. So tell us a little bit about... So you are also a psychic medium, correct?
Yes.
Which is interesting to say out loud, too. People ask me all the time if I'm a medium, and I'd usually tell people I'm about a double extra large. Badoots. Thank you, Joe Diner, for that joke. Tell us what that means in essence.
So with me being a psychic medium, I basically can connect with somebody's spirit guide or a loved one that's crossed over. That's what I do a lot of. If somebody comes to me, I can relay a message or a sign or synchronicity that they need to understand. That's where we come in. We're like channeling for them.
Yes. When did you discover that you had abilities, and what was that experience like?
So I would say, and this kind of ties into my book, Soft Petals from Burnt Ashes. I talk about my experiences from the age of 3 to 4. I had a very serious seizure that kind of had me in the hospital for 2 weeks. And then after that, the home that we were living in had a lot of paranormal activity. And when you're a child, a lot of people are like, no, like that's just an imaginary friend. But I started realizing that there was a lot of activity. And then I would get information from my mom or dad that they were also seeing stuff a little bit. And then when I became older, around 19, 20, there would also be, again, like something in the closet or a spirit or something that looked like that. And that's how I knew, like, okay, this wasn't just like childhood things. This is as an adult. And then I also get what's called like prophetic visions. So a lot of this happens to me while I'm sleeping, and I get dreams. Yeah. And at first I would be like, no, that's not true. And then when I got into the field, I started learning more about it. And so that would happen a lot. So that's kind of like when I would get the sight would be around 3 or 4. And then it just progressively was like more and more. And it's like, what's going on?
That's got to be freaky, though, at that.
It was. Because it was always said, it's just an imaginary friend. And it's hard because like you believe it because they're your parents and everybody. So like, what do? You know?
Because some imaginary friends are just kind of like just that, or imaginary, right? But some are actually real.
Yeah.
Because kids might. I mean, how do I explain it? Kids see them, actually. So.
Did Count Panic just drop some paranormal like, knowledge?
Yeah, he's dropping knowledge.
Well, here's the thing. Have you had when you were young, Bob, did you have an imaginary
friend? I did have an imaginary friend. But were they like, back at it now, it was probably some sort of spiritual encounter.
So you saw this imaginary
friend?
Yeah. I did, yeah. Okay. Mom will tell you, I had full-blown conversations.
Because some kids, I think, just make up for the fun of it, like tea parties and
whatnot. Well, yeah, but that also goes into your conscious and subconscious, and then, like, the gate. Program for the CIA, they would talk about like holographic programming where it's like, what are you seeing? And is it the imaginary friend or is it some part of your brain that's projecting that too? So why? Right?
Yeah.
Why would you see it? Yeah.
I just want to point out that in the 7-8 years that we've been doing this show, Count Panic usually sits back and he goes with the flow, and then he'll point out things that he finds interesting.
Imaginary friends.
Imagine, but this was the time when he dropped it, when he's just like, you know, imaginary friends could be a spiritual, like...
We could do a show on imaginary friends.
We should do a spiritual imaginary friends
Talk
episode.
About your...
But I want to point out that is fascinating that you did that to me, Count, after
it's
7 8 years.
It's vampire day.
It is vampire
day. I mean, knowledge.
But wait, so let's talk about this. I know, it's your show, Bob.
No,
but
first off, it's not my show. It's just titled Bob After Dark.
It's the people's show.
It's the people's show, and it's your show. You're the guest. I'm just here to host.
I like how Bob's rocking the headset, too. It's just one ear.
Yeah. Well, so do I.
You only use one ear?
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I don't know. I want to hear myself, too.
All right, I don't want to derail it. Go ahead.
So I was thinking then... Wait, oh, damn it, Bob. Now we forgot.
Swearing.
Imaginary friends.
Oh, sorry. Imaginary friends. Yeah. So we were talking about the whole imaginary friend thing. What about when we tell people who are like psychiatric patients?
Yeah.
Who are you seeing?
Yeah. Because people think they might be a little bit making things up, but they're not.
But it could be spiritual psychosis where there's too much energy and vibes coming in, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever think, like, I'm just saying, like, in adulthood, think about it.
If I had glasses like you two, I would take them off and go, interesting.
Yeah.
So what was some of your first visions or dreams, prolific moments, or because you were 3 or 4, so,
yeah.
And you remember, like, what was going on at that age? Why are you laughing?
Answer the question. I'm monitoring the chat here as well. James, he doesn't like to swim. He's turning into a bobber. Vixis says, I still have that friend, but it's in the dreams. So there's that, too. But also, we have somebody on the chat by the name of the ghost of Julian Colby. Now, Julian Colby used to be a broadcaster here long ago on WCLB.
Oh. Wow.
Now he has a YouTube what do you
channel?
Call them? Channel? Or, what do you call it? Page? The ghost of Julianne Colby says, Hamina Hamina, Count is quite smitten with tonight's guest. Well, of course, why not? But you know what? The ghost of Julianne Colby calling me out.
you're blushing, Count.
But why is the ghost of Julianne Colby?
Make sure you bring out your cape. Come
tonight,
on now. Pet your cheek.
Tonight of all nights, the ghost of Julianne Colby turns himself in. So good to have him here, too. I guess it's a real. He's the real ghost of Julianne Colby.
Never mind.
Well, he's in the chat.
All right. So back to your moments. You're having these visions at 3-4. What were they like? Like, what do you remember? What you saw? What you remember? Or what you felt?
Yeah. So not all of them because I was young, but sure. I do remember. I would see things like in the hallway in a dream, but then. Like, when I woke up and, like, would go out with my mom, we'd come back in, I would think everything was okay, but then there would just be, like, one section of the hallway where it literally was me supposed to see the shadow figure, like, the spirit that was there. So that kind of happened. And then I would say it more developed closer to, like, 10 and 11, where I could have more dreams or I would feel this feeling like something bad would happen to somebody. And I couldn't explain it, but I'd just be like, is everybody okay? Like, I would ask my mom, and she would be like, why? And I'm like, I feel like you're going to get a call or something's going to happen, and that's, like, literally what happens to me now. So for friends, I scared one of my friends, I'm pretty sure. I had a dream, and I kept hearing, you know, you got to tell them about their car, their vehicle, something's wrong with their axle. And he was like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, no, like, something tells me you really need to check this. Soon enough, I get, like, a text message, and it happened. Stranded, had to fix that axle, and I'm like, that's
impressive.
Interesting. Yeah, it was, like, his spirit guides, I believe, were telling me something, and it was through dreaming. Mm-hmm. So it's always in dreaming for me, all the time.
Never in real life, always in dreaming.
No, but that's like the daydreaming too. Do you guys ever have that happen to you where it's a repetitive thing? Because I tell people to pay attention to that too. Do you have that, Bob?
Well, daydreaming.
Oh, I daydream a lot. I venture
not
often.
Not sleeping though, you're just daydreaming.
Daydreaming, no. I don't get visions when I daydream. The only time that's disassociation.
Yeah.
Really? You feel like? I don't know.
No, so you have visions when you daydream too then?
Yeah. No, but it's more profound to me when it's at, like, the evening. I can see that with pure clarity, and I'll wake up and then I journal. I do that all the time. That's a very big thing. Like, if you want to get better at that skill, it's to write down and remember these certain, like, symbolisms and things that would happen. Sometimes it could just be actual literal things, or it's symbolic. So you're like, why am I seeing this again, or why did this happen? And you kind of have to decipher that, and that's when your spirit guides are kind of connecting with you in a sense.
Sure.
So during the day I'll drive, and then, like, there's something that's, like, repetitive to me, mm-hmm. that will just pop into my head, and I'm like, well, is that just, like, my imagination?
How do you know?
Yeah. And that's when you know how you feel, and when you have that anxiety and panic feeling, that's the anxiety type of thing. That's not your intuition telling you that. That's a totally different feeling. So, yeah, Bob, that's my story.
Yep, good call, everybody. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, just kidding.
Well, Vixis, as always, daydream at work, and that pesky ghost of Julianne Colby. It was nice having this place all to myself. Thanks, POW.
Nice. What? I love that.
The ghost of Julianne Colby.
It's a pesky ghost already.
He's real serious.
He's being
right now.
Snarky in the afterlife.
Right?
I don't remember him doing all that. But he is with the ghost of Preacher. He just chimed in, just doing our thing. So ghost of Preacher's with him as well.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
We were kidding before the show about maybe, well, you guys are more into this. I don't know if you want me to summon spirits, but you guys are the ones that might want to summon spirits.
No, the studio was insane with the energy.
We had a...
Right back there.
So we had... years ago, what would you say, Bob? 2019? 2020?
We were past 2020 when we did it.
Was that post?
Yes, because I remember the next day I woke up and got a tooth extraction. So this would have been like 2021.
We had our friends, Northwest Indiana Paranormal, Pete Christ and his team. You might have met them before. I'm not sure.
Maybe, yeah.
But they came in here and did an investigation. And that video is up on the old Facebook somewhere. But, you know, it was pretty thrilling stuff, Bob. The temperature in here was much better because we did it. I think it was cooler outside. Yeah, yes. Fall time. But it was a good time trying to, you know, see what we could find here. So,
yeah, I definitely think you need to do more investigating back there, because immediately when you showed me the rooms, I'm like, what's over there in the closet? I was like,
Did you sense something back there?
Yeah. So when Bob was back there, I actually thought somebody else was behind Bob.
Really? It wasn't me?
No. Nobody was there.
No.
I mean, there was somebody there, but it wasn't Bob.
No, I have a feeling something wanders around here with me. Because we did some Estes Method in that back room before. And during the Estes Method, the giant steel door connecting to the sound engineering room slammed shut. And it's a giant door.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was a strange incident.
And nobody... You might think there's some hanky-panky going on, but no, nobody was.
You need to change that word, hokey or fooey.
Hanky-panky?
Yeah, that's not the word you think it is.
No, hanky-panky can mean anything.
No, I can't.
It's multiple things, hanky-panky.
I think that's up to you.
There is no hanky-panky at WGLB.
There was no hanky-panky.
Yeah. But, so you said, because you could sense things, you sensed something specifically in that back room over there.
Yeah, the back room, and then you said in front of that, what was that?
The which room?
So we were by like that closeted area, but then like it was like the screen to
the producer.
Yeah. So like looking in right by the back corner, there looked like another silhouette of somebody standing there. And I even looked at Bob. I was like, oh my gosh, do you see?
Right now?
Earlier, yeah.
Holy smokes.
When he went to go take me for the walk. And then there was one other room that looked like that. It had that kind of energy too.
See, that's the thing, Bob. Like, I don't see things. I don't think I've ever saw anything. But you know, I never know if it's just me being alone in a questionable haunted room, if there's anything there, because it's just a vibe, right? You feel a vibe.
You'll feel it.
But, you know, but that just might be my mind saying, okay, we're in an abandoned old building and it's spooky in here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it can be that, but that's where you have to tie in your clairs or your senses. So that would be all of your senses. Some people are seared
up right now, so I can't use that.
But that would be more along the lines of your gut.
Yeah.
Like your stomach area. What does it make you feel, or if you feel anxious and stuff?
Queasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like, do you feel like somebody's watching you and stuff? That's how you'll know that feeling.
Bob, we gotta do a second investigation now.
I'm telling you.
I've been saying we should do another one. I invited the Pete and the high school kids to come out.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's been about 5 years, right?
What?
Been about 5 years then?
Yeah, I'd say so. Remember the time we came in here and we had that episode with Steve, and Steve stopped and when we were in the sports studio?
We were just hanging out there because the other studio
was under construction. Yeah. And then Steve's like, I just saw a shadow walk by the window. I'm like, now it's Preacher. There you go.
Just so weird. Yeah. Like, it's weird because like, people come here throughout the whole day in the morning as they do shows, and you know, nothing. I guess the ghost only...
But that's why the spiritual end of it is usually more at peak, I feel like, in the evening.
Yeah.
A lot of the times. Like, after 5 o'clock, usually you'll start feeling or seeing...
They sleep in.
Yeah, they like to sleep in a little bit. But I've actually gone on investigations where the daytime I felt like I got more absorbed than the evening. Have you?
Nah, it's always about night.
I was going to say, nighttime is usually at its peak.
Well, people do investigations, right?
Yeah. People do investigations during the day. It's safer because you're not going to fall.
And you might see the ghost because it's daytime.
The ghost might trip you during the night.
I could trip over myself day or night, so I guess it doesn't matter.
This is true. We could all do that.
We always have the discussion. We always bring this up, too. Like, ghost in October, that's the peak for everybody wants to ghost hunt, right? Because everybody and their mother's doing it, but ghosts don't know it's October, right?
No.
No.
Anytime's October.
Yeah, you can do anytime.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Remember, folks, our phone lines are open, 219-845-1100. That's 219-845-1100. Tell me a little bit more, if you're comfortable sharing about your abilities, your gifts, what, like, as you've grown older and you've kind of become more in tune with them, what has that meant for your growth as a person, knowing that you have some sort of gift that not everybody else has?
So, I did have somebody... ask me how does it feel now that my ability seems to have strengthened. When I was younger, there would be that gut feeling and like I'd be like, no, this feels kind of off. And you know, when you don't strengthen that, you kind of don't go along with certain things, and then like something bad happens. And now that I've grown to sense everything, hearing, sight, visual things, I feel like I'm more aware of the moments, and I do feel like I get more clarity and my intuition can see through certain things where before it didn't. So like if I sense like a space just doesn't feel good to be in, or a decision doesn't make sense to me and I don't think I should do that, I've come more to terms with myself and my consciousness that I'm like, this makes sense for me to do this, don't do this. Or when I get my visions, I used to be like, yeah, whatever, everybody gets that. And I was skeptical for a long time. So it took a lot of this over time for me to develop it and really truly understand it. And now I see its spirituality and everything kind of all together. And I'm okay with that. Like, I feel like I've grown a lot, and I'm thankful for it. But then, like I said, when it comes to like the spiritual sense of, I know when somebody might cross, that's the one thing that's been a little hard for me lately. Like, well, I felt it, like they're going to pass or like something like that.
This is interesting. Go ahead.
No, go on. So you're leading the show today.
No, but she's bringing up some interesting. So not that essentially like they're in like hospice care. These are just people you meet on the street.
So, well, I do have encounters where people want readings and stuff like that. And I'll kind of know, like, I just actually recently had one and I feel like her pet was going to cross over. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people ask that. I don't like those kind of questions. Mm-hmm. Ethically, I try not to do that. I mean, Everybody can do whatever they want. It's just something I don't like to do because I don't want anybody to be fearful of that. But no, like most of this happens with big encounters with my people. So it's like who you're connected to energetic wise. Did you ever feel like you're wanting to text somebody and you're like having a thought and all of a sudden, boom, you get like a text message? Yeah. So energetically, when you're tied with somebody, that can happen. So that's why my friend, when I got the dream.
You text somebody, have you ever texted? I've done that before. We both texted right at the exact same time.
Yeah, that's happened. Yeah. And it's literally happened to me or my other friend, and we're all in the friends group. And I'm like, that's weird. We were just talking about them. Yeah. So like the same thing with dreams. I'll have friends or like even specifically, I knew when my mom was going to pass because I had a dream. But again, like how you're saying hospice patients.
Well, yeah.
Like, but hospice patients can get visions or dreams from people that have already crossed over. And most nurses say they know they're going to cross over when they start getting those dreams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of how I know.
Yeah.
It's rough, but that's.
But like, I'm just saying, say you're somewhere on the train or something, and you sit next to somebody, and you're like, oh boy, I get a bad, something bad might happen to this person next to me. Do you ever get that? Or no,
I have, and that's why I'm saying, like, the one time when I had to text about don't go now or don't drive now, it's because of that. Like, something might happen with an accident or something. I try not to say that because I don't want somebody in fear of it also, like, waiting for it to happen. So that's, like, another thing that I'm really careful with. And I remember when I talked to my mentor, and I'm like, well, if it's God's will, because I'm like, I know what we do as a psychic medium or, like, how I get prophetic information, but am I supposed to tell them that? Do I want to scare them? Like, you know what I mean?
Now they got this news.
Yeah, so it's only specifically if somebody asks that question, I can feel a sense in a way.
But now that I know you do this, it's hard for somebody not to ask you that question, but I'm not going to ask that question.
No, you're good.
You'll be fine when you go home. I don't know anything. Bob, you don't want to know, right?
What do I want
to
know?
If something bad will happen to you soon.
You don't have to tell me. I'm a walking clown.
He just said he would trip on himself. Leave him alone. He has his own risk.
Only in the dark, though. Only in the dark. Chime in into the chat here. Again, the number is 219-845-1100. Vic says, the night brings the energy. Heather says, near-death awareness.
Yeah.
And Art, our friend Art, who tunes into the show there. I feel more spirits the more I hang out at Big Frank's Sausage.
So, shameless plug.
I think he's talking about the other spirits now.
Yeah. The Big Frank's Sausage,
East Chicago, Indiana. Stan does listen to the show, so we'll give him the plug there for that.
He does listen.
Also, William Baker chiming in here, long time no chat. He says, and he predicted this, Tony's got a cold. I do got the sniffles going on here, but I see that in his future, he says. So, but it's already happening, so we're in the present there.
I love that. Sniffles, that's hilarious.
So. But, you know, that's fascinating stuff. So, I mean, that'd be overwhelming for me if I could tell that much about a person.
Yeah, it is. you don't look at people the same. You're like, and you don't want to be open to that all the time. That's where I think the spiritual understanding that you know how to open and channel yourself and like close yourself off, because you don't want to do that. Like, I don't know. How do you guys feel when you go into like a Walmart or like all of that? That's a lot of people. Yeah. But it's but a lot.
Paranormal.
It's not necessarily paranormal, but everything is energy. So when you walk into that building and you feel a certain way, like you could just sense a lot. And I don't know. I've always had people say Walmart feels pretty intense, like energy wise.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, y'all, I hate going into Walmart.
That department store does not sponsor this podcast, by
no,
the way.
No, they
Walmart,
do not.
They could. Sorry. We're more of an Old Navy type.
Oh, no.
What? What?
Well, hot topic?
Maybe. Maybe like 10 years ago. It's not the same story.
Yeah,
that's still, my generation. Yeah, that makes
totally
sense.
Different now.
Bob, how old are you now?
Why are we talking about how old I am? You're the guest.
But well, we're having fun. It's
but we're doing.
We're doing.
She might be onto something here. Maybe she could.
I am 35 years old.
Oh, so we're the same age. That's why when you said hot topic, that made sense. Okay, okay. Yes. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I'm older than that. I'm 36.
You're going to say you're not even that much
by
older than
one
me.
Week here.
By, you're like by a. We got a caller.
We do got a caller.
Oh goodness.
219-845-1100. I'm going to put.
Hold on, hold on. Before
it's
you do
not
it,
the anonymous caller.
No, oh. I have a feeling it's John.
Let's find out.
Caller, you're on the air.
As I put that on.
Okay, this time, caller, you're on the air.
Caller? Hey, it is me, Bob.
Hey, it's John. Good evening, John.
Hey, listen, I got a gig out in the Railcats Stadium, so I just got out of there. The game just ended, so I, you know, obviously the first thing I do on Tuesdays is put Bob After Dark on, and I got to make that phone call. So mm-hmm. I'm listening to your guest. And I assume she's, from what, you know, little that I heard, being that I just put the radio on, she is a psychic, and she can more or less see what things are going to happen ahead to either specifically people that are ill, or am I wrong? Or?
I mean, it could be anything, right? I mean,
yeah,
not necessarily ill.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean they have to be ill. It could just be kind of like everyday life, because I'll have somebody like, oh, am I going to win the lottery? And it's like, what do you feel?
That's an easy no.
That's a solid no. Yeah. Like, so it's like everything.
Well, like when you're, so like you mentioned Walmart. So, well, you know, if you're in any environment and where, you know, there's a lot of people or whatever, can you sense that maybe something is going to happen, you know?
Like an event?
As far as, you know, any type of trouble or something like that, you know, that's, you know.
Yes.
That, you know, I mean, God forbid, you know, you got people with guns now that, you know, just open a fire anywhere. Can, you know, you be in an environment and say, hey, something, you know, something's really going to be, and then warn the people that are in charge that, hey,
So I have had situations like that have occurred, and that's like where you are so in tune that I'll feel like if I'm not supposed to go somewhere or somebody else isn't, like I said, I'll tell them, do not go. I'm like, something's going to happen, you're going to get in a car accident or some fight's going to occur, and that's that clear knowing. It's just something that comes to you intuitively and downloaded where you can't explain it, but you just feel it and know. And when you're talking about energy and being in a room, I could be in a room and have different people and feel their emotions and feeling. That's that empath energy. So it's a lot that you can feel and sense. Sometimes I can tell when somebody's had a really, really bad day, they've lost somebody, and I can sense that. So yes, I can. I have talked about those kind of things. Now saying like armed stuff, I've never experienced that, but I do tell people if I sense something's off, do not go. Like, and I just know it's off.
That's kind of good to have.
Oh, that's very interesting. So you might have said this, like I said, I just put it on, but so when did you get to know you had this, I don't know, how do you refer to it?
Like it.
Talent or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, after whatever, you know, when I don't know how old you are now. You know,
no, it's okay.
Were you at a younger age, or how did you know you had this gift per se?
Okay, so like earlier, I was talking about like 3 to 4, I had a seizure that kind of was really rough. And I guess I was in the hospital for, this is for my mom, for like 2 weeks. And I was just like, you know, getting through that. And a lot of people, when they have these abilities, they have near-death experiences or really traumatic things that happen to them that can heighten their awareness. So I feel like that happened to me. I've also had car accidents that there's one specific that happened that was really rough. And I feel like that also did something. And so I can sense more and more through my dreams. It just started happening. And I'm like, okay, well, are these regular dreams or what's going on? And then when I would be able to do intuition tests, I was getting it, like whether it was like showing me a crystal or object or something like that, I was able to understand that and say it. And it just started developing more and more. And I think that's, everybody needs to know that they have their own intuition. Everybody has clairs. It's just how you try to acknowledge it and how you, like, you can figure out your own feelings and senses to determine that. It's just you have to keep working at it. So, yeah, that's kind of how it happened, and that's how I developed it more and more, was through practice.
Well, that's very interesting. So you're doing well after your accident stuff you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a while.
You're right? Pretty bad, yeah. Now. You know.
Yeah.
As far as health is concerned, so, well, that's great. And, very interesting guest, Bob, and, continue to listen to the show, and thank you for coming on.
Thanks, John. We appreciate you.
Thanks, John.
Okay. Have a nice evening.
There we go. That was John right there. Drop that call. Make sure I did that right. I did.
Good job, Count.
Yes.
So Ego. Far, our guest could hear a phone call. This is everything is just coming up Millhouse.
Yeah, as long as they never go on Zoom ever again, it'll just hop in.
We have our next guest next week's coming on Zoom.
Well, Chuck promises that it should be sturdy right now, so we're good, I think.
Nice.
Also, we got James saying, Bob is 428 years old in Mothman years.
Oh,
and Gloomy Sorwe saying Bob is the people's grandfather.
What? I'm not that old.
I'm not going to lie, though. I didn't think we were the same age. I didn't think you were that old. I just didn't think. I didn't think you were 35.
Also, now we got questions from the ghost of Julian Colby as well.
Uh-oh.
17 books on Amazon, you said? How many?
Yep. Well, yeah, about that. I make journals too, yeah, so it's about 17.
That's like you're creating like one a year at that point, right?
Kind of. I mean, I was making a few. I make novella style, so they're slightly like thinner.
Okay.
And I've been writing them a long time in journals and stuff like that. That's a lot of my work, so yeah.
Questions for this, though. Writing process. What is her writing process? And how has she put so much material out at such a young age? Does she work? Now, there's multiple questions. Does she work more than one at a time? And what's up next?
Oh, nice.
Man, we are getting ahead of ourselves. This is how we end the show, but
well,
I guess we'll...
We can save the last next at the end.
We'll save that last one. We'll save the last question for last. But it's a good question, because you're not writing atypical, like, other than maybe your vampire book. But, like, the book you have in front of us, this is like an actual spiritualism, like...
Yes, it is.
Thing. So let's talk about your process for fiction, and then let's talk about your process for metaphysical.
Oh, yeah. So, as we speak right now, this is going to be hilarious, but I have always had the dreams like I do, and I would take everything as a visual sign, so I walk around with journals all the time.
You never know when you need to break one out there.
No, I have them in the car, I have them in my purse, and I had these thoughts for a very long time, so I didn't start writing till recent, I want to say 3 years. Officially, but
you
all
wrote
that.
How many books in 3 years?
About 18.
I can't even write one.
I can't even read that many books.
I can't read a book that fast.
But I read a lot as a child. So I would have all these concepts and things. And then I got divorced. I didn't know what I was going to do. And that's where the dreams would come in. And I was like praying. I'm like, well, what do I do? Like, what am I going to show as a mom? Like, and it was like, right. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I came out with journals. So most of those are actually journals or coloring books, because a lot of my spiritual healing and stuff had to do with coloring, meditation, and journaling. all the time.
Even that, I can't even stay inside the lines.
So. I know. I get like, but that's intuitive stuff too. So yeah. Like, I'll be like,
what you're feeling.
Yeah, basically. So when I had the thought process for ideas, it would happen in a dream. I'd write it down, and then literally, I write down. I'm going to tell you the whole process, y'all.
No, that's what we're here for.
So I usually think of the land or wherever they're at. I think of the character names. I write them down all the time. And then I just kind of character build, think of their scenes, think of how I want to have the story go. And it's pretty crazy because when I start writing, I continuously write until it's finished. So some of these books got whipped out within a month because I would continuously write and edit. Now, were they edited a lot? No, but it was my work. It's what I did. And kind of like each chapter, I kind of make it up as I go. And some people might think that's madness, but I'm like, no, like this has to happen in this scene.
Because you don't, you're doing it as you write. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because some people had the whole vision in their head, right?
Yeah. Some people that I've heard from, like, real professional.
Wow.
It's like they start from the beginning and then go to like the end chapter. And I'm like, I don't do that. And then they fill up the spaces in between the chapters. I'm like, for me, I can't do that. That's not going to make sense. Like for my idea.
Yeah.
So it's always,
you don't know the ending when you start.
Yeah. I don't know the ending. And then I kind of just wing it and think about it. And somebody's like, that's kind of crazy. And I'm like, well, that's how it appears all the time. And sometimes it'll be inspiration for an object. Like, so not only do I do the paranormal and the vampires, but I made a Christmas book. And it was like, what? Why would you do that? Yeah. But I love Christmas.
can you share a little bit of the plot of that?
So it's called Whispers of the Nutcracker. I always grew up. I know. Don't judge, Bob.
I'm not judging.
You're judging because it's a Christmas book. No, just kidding.
Bob's terrified because they kind of look like dolls.
Listen, my mother collects nutcrackers. Gets they're one like a dolls. Year.
Oh, really?
Yes. Terrifying.
We're friends.
Terrifying.
Oh, no wonder why me and Mama had like a connection. She's Oh, that's awesome.
Nutcrackers.
So I would collect them, and so like basically, Bella Rose, she inherits her grandmother's bookstore that was in Frankenmuth, Michigan. So that just came to me. I was like, what's a good Christmas town? Like, where should this be? Yep. And I wrote
it.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, like, let me think about it. And then I loved the idea of nutcrackers. Well, Nathan Cole is from Chicago. He's there to develop Frankenmuth and drones and all this stuff for Christmas. And Bella's like, no, like she's on a committee and she's like, no, let's keep this old school. Like, we don't need all that stuff. And it's kind of like a love story. And he doesn't know if he wants to be with Bella or and love her. And then it's like, they just end up falling in love. And like, it's like the Christmas spirit. It's like a Hallmark style.
I was going to say a Hallmark movie. See, we're thinking the same thing.
Yes. So Frankenmuth has a lot of my copies if anybody wants to be out there. And
you never know. It could be developed. It's
I made a screenplay.
There you go.
I'm waiting for Hallmark. Hallmark, if you're watching this.
Don't they crank out like 100?
No, just kidding.
Don't they crank out like 100 movies a year of Christmas, just Christmas?
I'm telling you, but I'm trying really hard for that one because it's like so heartfelt and stuff, but it's definitely different than our vampires, just putting that out there.
No, it's fine.
And again with that too, do you work, you do one at a time or work on that?
Okay, so for
question,
one part. At a time,
one at a time, you don't.
No,
that's confusing, right? You mix your stories.
I feel like it is. I have other author friends that can do both. I have the ADD. If you give me that, I might mix up scenes. I don't want to do any of that. Like, I just want to focus on one. That's why I said I'll focus on it, like, kind of an obsessive way till it's finished. Then I edit it, and then I have to print it and format all of it myself.
Can we talk about your writing process for metaphysical books? Are you okay over there?
I'm reading the chats and coughing at the same time. We're going to go back to that question, Bob. But also, do you have a Krampus story? Crystal,
I do,
because Ghost of Julian Colby's doing research on you right now.
I do.
And I guess he researched your Krampus story.
Yes, I want to go to the. Actually, Bob, I was trying to get into the.
That could be a
the
Hallmark.
Krampus.
Milwaukee Krampus knot.
That could be a Hallmark movie too, right?
Yes, I love that one too. I love that one. That's a good one. You need to read that one, Bob.
Yeah, I don't.
Is that a feel good story or is it terrifying?
It's terrifying.
Well, darn.
Yeah.
So that was a feel-good story about Krampus.
I know. It's, like, really interesting. The family goes out there. Sorry, I had my, like, mini stroke. I'm trying to remember all the storylines. But, like, they go out there, and they end up going to, like, the parades that they normally have, and then they encounter all these different things going on, and then they might or might not meet Krampus.
We need a book club.
The Bob After Dark Book Club?
Did we?
Yes.
Did we talk about that before?
We talked about the dating app.
Oh. There does. The paranormal date.
We tried to do the paranormal dating app.
What?
Yeah, we
talked about. This needs to be a thing.
We talked about it.
While we did the
And Halloween lovers, man. I'm telling you, it's hard out here.
Art also. Bill chiming in as well. Bill's back saying, you should go have a drink after the show.
Hot toddy for you is what you need.
I should have brought some Jack for this hot tea right here.
Yeah.
Nice.
Art, I think he means this in a very loving way. Bob, tonight looks like the burger. Is it the Burgermeister? Like the Heatmeister? The Burgermeister? Meistermeister? Meister Burger from Santa Claus is coming to town. Is that a character?
Why?
Is that a character in Santa Claus? I butchered that German, by the way, but I don't know.
Thanks, Art. I appreciate
it. And people want to see the Hallmark Krampus movie in the chats from Gloomy in the chat wants to see that. So,
I wish.
Okay,
be a thing.
I get a question now.
The chat is live tonight.
I know it's because Crystal's. It's because Crystal's here.
Sometimes the chat's not here.
It's sometimes not, but I gotta ask because this, you know, we are a metaphysical show.
Yes.
What is your metaphysical process when you write, like, your book here in front of us, which I'm hoping you'll talk about?
Yes. So the Holy Design of Reality. This one took a long time because I wanted to know more about like spirituality, but I went through like what was like a spiritual awakening or like the dark night of the soul. Basically, I no longer aligned with certain things. I was trying to figure out myself and what religion I wanted to belong to. I am baptized Catholic. I still recognize that, but I went through this phase of like, well, why are people Baptist? What is different with being Christian? You know, why do people meditate? And that's what kind of like inspired this, because I wanted to talk about a lot of what I learned over the years and also the religious aspect of it, because I don't feel, this is personally me, you can divide it, but I do feel like there's some correlation between it all. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wrote this book.
Yeah.
So it was like Bible verses, how they can correlate with spirituality. Mm-hmm. And how they actually do.
What book is that again?
So it's called The Holy Design of Reality. It will be at, where are we going to go, Bob?
The Chicago Paranormal Convention.
Also, June 13th.
We had a call, but they dropped caller. I'm sorry to get to your call on time, but please call back 219-845-1100.
Yes.
So when you're writing these metaphysical books, is it just like theories that you have? Are they visions that you have?
Both.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, we do got the call, but I think it might be a different call. So call us, call it. We are live here tonight.
Yeah, call, you're on the air.
We'll take this one right now. I put the talk line and you're on the air.
Uh-oh. Well, good evening, Count and Bob. How
hey,
are you?
Hey, Bill, guys? How are you?
Bill there.
I'm doing fine. I was listening here. I heard John call. He's, I guess he's coming back from the ball game. So.
Oh, my dad. Yeah, he's working the ball game.
Well, don't spoil it.
Well, yeah, I don't know if he was selling popcorn or what he was doing there. I have no idea.
He's just, you know, he's making sure everybody's having a good time is what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I go there every so often, you know. So it's nice. I'm enjoying your guest. I have a question for her.
Go ahead.
Just the fact that, you know, you, what's your first name?
I'm Crystal.
Oh, Crystal, okay. You were saying about you can predict things to happen and this and that. Was that at an early age or what?
So it did happen at an early age, but I want to say when it fully heightened was more adulthood. I could sense, like, if things were going to happen, if somebody got sick, or just kind of bad feelings, like if I've had car accidents happen or stuff like that for other people. So I would kind of see something happening, and a lot of the times I would kind of ignore it when I was younger. But now as an adult and practicing and kind of developing my intuition, now if I see something and I feel it, I will say it to anybody around me. And I want to say full-blown where I got more confident in that was probably, like, mid-30s, where it fully, like, took a turn, and I was like, okay, this is for reals now. So, yeah, it was scary in the beginning because I didn't want to believe that, because I grew up in such a upbringing of being Catholic and you don't kind of cross that line and you don't think about those things. So for a long time, I brushed that off. Like, I don't want to know anything like that, or I don't want to do that. So, but then I kind of just developed it over the time. And like I said, around like my 30s is when I started noticing it was full blown developing.
Okay, that answers my question. Before I hang up and listen to the show, Count, happy Vampire Day.
Thank you.
Yes, Dracula Day.
Dun, Dracula dun, dun.
That, well, you know, I'm blessed to really knowing Mr. Pierogi and the Count.
Well, those are two different people.
Were Pierogi, you know.
I know, but I got it all. Well, first of all, I didn't think vampires caught colds.
What's that? I don't want to say it's a full-on cold. Just allergies here, Bill, I think.
Wrong, so.
It's just, you know.
Okay, listen, you guys have a good show the rest of that, and we'll see you. I'll call you next week.
All right, Aaron, good. Bill. Thank you, take Bill. Care now.
Thank you.
You too. Bye.
219-845-1100 is the number. 219-845-1100. So if that person that did call in before, I don't think it was Bill. I think it was somebody else.
Call
back. Feel free to call back.
Call back.
All right. So what's we were talking before when the caller came in about your concept of theories versus visions during your writing process when it comes to the metaphysical.
Yes.
So you said it was both.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
So something told me, my spirit guides and my intuition, that I needed to dive in deeper with, like I said, exploring consciousness, religious views, and science, which is like the quantum physics part of it.
Yeah.
Why did it make sense? And it's kind of like I got on like the rabbit hole conspiracy theory thing for a minute, and I was like, nah. And I'm like, do I really want to write something like that? And then when I started hearing about the GATE programs or the CIA, and then I was like, all right. And then what is consciousness and kind of diving into that, I'm like, this is kind of intertwined. And the way that we go to school, right? We're programmed to do things over and over again, and that's repetition. Well, is that really different than manifestation or Tesla's 369 theory?
Sure.
That's what started making me curious and want to figure out a way to explain this to anybody, so anyone who was a beginner to kind of understand it. Because I didn't understand it until I started watching different videos, reading, and looking up different people's ideas. And even, like I said, it's Einstein, everybody talking about the different things. It wasn't separate. It was a whole concept that everybody could understand. And it didn't matter what your belief was. And that's where the oneness of it all comes together to me. So that's why I felt like I needed to write about it so that people could understand more about it. And then when it came to religion, I would have people say, well, why do you do what you do? I don't think you should be doing that. And then when I looked into the Bible, because many times I'm like, I don't want to do anything that might seem like sinful or like not okay. And then when I looked, I'm like, wait a minute. A lot of this is intermingled or intertwined together with what people are doing, their everyday intuition, the listening of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so when you go to church and you hear a man say, or the preacher, whoever you're identifying with, I feel like spirit connected me, or I feel like God told me something that I have to tell you. Okay, well, that's no different than an intuitive message that you're getting from somebody who's a medium or whoever. So that's why I felt like when this came out, it was very important to explain that. Does that make sense?
It makes plenty of sense.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, please
tell me. No, you're look, you're on a show where we talk about ghosts and stuff, so I think your theories are well open and well fine. There's nothing wrong with it. What you feel is best is what you feel, and that's...
Yeah. And that was the openness to it that I wanted. It's that anybody who was at any level could read it and feel like, okay, this might make sense to me, and I've never gone to a spiritual thing, or I've never really been into full-blown religion, but you could still grasp something from the book. That was the whole reason why I made it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you know what? I mean, you're cranking out a bunch of books here, so it's...
I'm sorry.
Well, I know we'll get to that at the end of all this next, but it's hard to, you know, you ever feel like you're set to strain sometimes? Like, how can I keep doing this? You think there's still room for many ideas out there?
So, I am going to be honest. I was cranking them out. I had journals and things going on. When my mother passed, I did not... I told myself I didn't want to write anymore. And then like a whole bunch of other things happened, and I'm like, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And then I went to like a really big convention thing, and then someone's like, you're going to have like another book, right? You're going to do this and this and this. And I'm all about signs and synchronicities. And at one time I was like losing hope. And I'm like, you know what? I'm an indie author. I don't have traditional publishing. I had many different things where it's not like your ego where you want that boost of confidence, but it was like, and are the people that are supposed to read these books going to be connected or like them? And then finally, when I started having people be like, I'm glad, especially Soft Petals, a lot of people resonated with Soft Petals from Burnt Ashes. And it was like a healing type of thing, but also a memoir of myself and things, and like even the spiritual sense. And that was the biggest one I was afraid to publish. And then I realized so many people said to me, I'm glad you wrote that because I didn't realize all the traumas and things that I went through. And I could resonate with you a lot. And now I'm doing the inner work for myself. Mm-hmm. So that's where I felt good. And I'm like, you know what? I shouldn't stop writing because it does mean something to someone out there.
It's my mom, Bob. I think you noticed it years ago, 2005. Yeah, maybe around that point. She came out with a book, a fiction book called In of the Dunes. Plug for that. INN of the Dunes. But, you know, the process of writing a book and then getting it is one thing, but then getting it out there to the public, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's got easier over the years because this is back, you know, going on, over 20 years ago now.
Oh, yeah. It's gone
Amazon
easier.
Amazon is more of a thing up there. Like, you really kind of a... I don't know. I assume you have a publisher for all the same...
So, everything that I do is from Amazon.
Okay.
I do Barnes & Noble as well. But, no. Like, that's where the traditional publishing comes in with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's some self-publishing, too, right? But
yeah, that's kind of what I do because... Not plugging, but if anybody has a publisher, no, because like you have to pay for it all by yourself. You work on your own.
This is where the publisher comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a publisher would come in and then, hey, we're going to promote this book or get it out there to folks. But you're at this point self-publishing because, and so you're doing your own publishing because you're talking about it here on the air, right?
Yes. So. For sure. Sorry.
No, you're okay.
Bob, I mean, aren't you in the process of writing too?
Yeah, something like that. It'll get done when it gets done.
Well, that's actually a good thing. Can you offer any advice to Bob about writing a book, having written 17 of them?
Just keep going.
Oh, thank you.
Just keep going.
So what? As we're wrapping up here, I'm curious, what are some of the services you offer as a other than a writer? You offer services for people. What are some of those services you offer people?
So I do readings.
When you say readings, what do you mean? Like tarot readings or?
So sorry, you guys.
No, you're okay. It's warm in the room.
Yeah, oracle readings. I do know tarot, mediumship. I do Reiki healing. And then pretty much that's what I like to do. And then most of my author stuff, which would be like publishing, helping people lay and format. Like formatting, that's what I like to do.
Sure.
I know, too, like the cards, those are popular these days, right? Like
Oh, yes. I'm an oracle card creator, so I make my own oracle cards.
Oh, how about that?
Can you tell us what the difference between an oracle and a tarot is for folk that might not know?
So tarot kind of has its own definitive faces and meanings. There's no way you can, like, switch them around.
Sure.
Oracle is, like, your intuition, different symbolism, and it's, like, whatever you're coming with. So there's no right or wrong answer. Where, like I said, tarot, if, like, you have the knight or different art, like different meanings of them, that's kind of what it is. Like, if it means money or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas oracle, they could be anything. They could be angel numbers. They could be, like you need to do this or you need to do that. And there'll be, like, phrases at the bottom or imagery. And then you kind of identify what it is that the message needs to be given to somebody. Where, like, tarot is, like, different.
I feel like that's also, too, that's more... People are into that these days. Like, in the old days, Bob, we had... Is this the same family, like the crystal balls and totally
kind
of
like well that's like the intuitive paintings or automatic writing and stuff like that and ball like the crystal ball looking at it
that's
it
the
is
old
like
school
that.
Way of doing it right the crystal ball now it's more so card based
I would say that for sure
crystal balls Bob's distracted right there
no I'm okay I guess my final question is what's next for you? What's on the docket?
So I do have more book signings to do.
Hey.
I do have an oracle deck that I'm hoping to come out that's more angel number, spirit animals, because I do a lot. I love animals so much. And then I have The Haunting of Ash Cafe that's coming out, which is really awesome. It's based off of like a haunted like coffee shop cafe. And then seeing, it's like kind of a psychological thriller crime. Wow. So it's a little bit different.
A little bit of everything there.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. And then I also have a different vampire book that I'm thinking of and working on.
Hey, that's interesting.
More Chicago. No, more Chicago-based mob. If you like the mob, we're going to talk about that.
Vampiric mob?
Yeah.
That's fun.
Wow.
Yes. So.
Bela Lugosi meets Al Capone.
Yes. We love that.
All right, Count, do you have any final questions for our guest this evening?
Oh, if people want to find out more about you.
Yes.
They could follow me on Crystal's Healing Heart on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Linktree. We have it all.
Are you on the, you said the TikTok?
Yes, I'm on the TikToks.
The MySpaces.
Yes. Oh, I did have a MySpace, not anymore.
We all had a MySpace.
That was our generation.
Count, what I've been on your top eight.
Yeah, for sure. Did we not know each other back?
No, I knew you in college.
MySpace was, yeah, you're right, because it kind of dipped out with freshman year of college, right?
I would say so. Yeah. I was well on Facebook by the time.
Yeah,
I was
everybody
in
was. They're still on.
Wait, Facebook. What I've been on? What I've been on?
Yeah,
your top
we're
eight?
All about this. Yeah, everybody's.
Wait
on
a minute,
topic.
You were like, wait a minute. Of there was course. A little hesitation in that.
I'm
voice.
Gonna go change it tonight and add both of you on my topic. Okay?
Yes,
thanks, I appreciate.
Make
it.
Make sure you put the cape on.
Yes.
All right, folks. Crystal, before we take off, I usually make all my guests do some sort of quote, quip, piece of advice, riddle, joke, something to the audience before we call it quits. So
okay.
What do you got for us?
So everyone who knows me, Crystal's Healing Heart, I always tell you, be the best you. I have it tattooed on me. Whenever you feel like there's time of struggle and you're doubting or not sure what your inner spirit's telling you, trust yourself. And you're always going to get past it, and you're going to move forward. So be the best you no matter what.
Excellent. Count?
You want me to get... I never get asked the words of wisdom.
I know that, but I'm asking if you have any closing words.
Oh,
for the
boy.
I'm his top eight.
Closing words, yes. I'm changing my top eight tonight. Thank you all for tuning in. As always, and now I'm more interested to see what's in the room behind me, because you said there's something back there.
Yes, so. Yes.
You can see if you're watching on YouTube. Directly that room back there, right?
Yeah.
There's something back there. So,
yes.
For the morning show people, be careful.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. I just want to wish all of you good night. To my mom, sweet dreams. To my dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above... So below, until next time.
Memoriam Development.